This is NPR, National Public Radio. I'm Jim Crikey, and this is All Things Considered. Today, we're going to be looking at electronic medical records. Now, I'm sure you know, medical records are basically a chronicle of a person's medical history, surgeries, past medications, you name it. According to a study in the journal Primary Psychiatry, only about 20 to 25% of physician-based organizations today have adopted electronic medical records, despite the increasing use of technology in almost every field. Why is that? Professor David Bates at Harvard Medical School says that this isn't a simple issue like we might think. There's a complex web of economic, structural, organizational, even technical challenges to medical records. We have two panelists here today to help us learn a little bit more about these issues. Aman Sinha, a spinal surgeon and editor for the American Journal of Medicine, and Kashif Smith, a cardiologist and contributor to the British Medical Journal. So guys, what's a big deal? Aman, how about you?
Well, Jim, I think it's important to talk about what electronic medical records, or EMR, is supposed to do for the medical industry. There are obvious things like making storage records more efficient, increasing accessibility along with comprehensiveness, but most importantly, EMR is a technical solution to the growing problem of medical error. The Institute of Medicine issued a report in 2000 that found that between 44 and 98,000 medical errors occurred annually in hospitals, and over half of these were preventable. Mostly things like prescribing the wrong medication or giving medications that conflict with patients. EMR proposes to reduce medication errors, amounting to about $50 to $80 billion in annual savings. Now, there are a lot of degrees of implementation, too numerous to go into right now, but there isn't a simple on-off switch for the industry in terms of EMR. We can start with computerized prescriptions and move into more interactive things like patient records that notify doctors about patient allergies and things like that. I see what it can do, but is this the best or only solution to medical error?
No, Jim, it's not. And on the other side of the fence, it might not really be a solution at all. To use a medical analogy, EMR might treat a symptom but not the root cause of medical error. What might be needed is a more drastic shift in medical culture in terms of making safety a higher priority. Unlike, say, the airline industry, the medical industry is not as accepting of error and doesn't have as regularized of a protocol to address the issue. EMR may make an already complex system more tightly coupled, which gives more chances for catastrophic accidents. However, my colleague Rob Heimrich suggests in a recent article of our journal that we can avoid these accidents if we use EMR to change medical error management. This means in addition to the safety measures Amaya mentioned, we should use EMR to log error trends and learn from mistakes.
All right, I see the technical side of the issue in terms of decreasing failure rates, but what about economics? Amon mentioned up to $80 billion in savings. Are there any other perspectives to the economic side of the issue? Yeah, one of the main factors affecting the feasibility of EMR is the implementation cost. Even with the obvious benefits of accuracy, efficiency, and patient safety, EMR is only going to work if it's cost-effective, too. According to a cost-benefit analysis headed by Sam Wang in my journal, the net financial return of EMR is positive across a wide range of assumptions. He said that EMR would save healthcare providers an average of $86,000 over 5 years, and the savings would increase in later years. EMR would decrease drug expenditures. For example, it could help doctors prescribe cheaper drugs, help lower the occurrence of adverse side effects, and also help decrease the number of unnecessarily repeated tests. More generally, this could lead to decreasing malpractice settlements and completely avoidable injuries. Overall, the economic factors that Wang talks about show the great potential for EMR.
Aman, I remember reading Wang's study. He had also mentioned that providers' revenue loss exceeds $11,000 in the first year.
Yeah, that's true, but I think the initial investment is well worth the future savings and other positive benefits.
For some, it may be worth it, but $11,000 may be a prohibitive cost to a small practice. Wang's study had another issue. He compiled data from several sources, yet analyzed the data as if it were from a single institution. His assumptions and estimates led to conclusions that shouldn't be favored over more concrete evidence. The nonprofit organization Healthcare Information and Management Systems Society, or HIMSS, recently led a national survey of 4,000 hospitals. They found that current health information technology, including EMR, has no impact on overall costs. All potential savings from EMR are offset by installation and upkeep costs. The only proven benefit of hospital computerization has been some, albeit slight, quality advantages. Quality is important, and as I said before, a change in culture is needed to make this a more important issue in medicine. Still, improving quality alone is not enough to entice most hospitals to implement EMR. The best known implementation of EMR is in the Veterans Health Administration Network that falls under the Department of Veterans Affairs. Their system, called VISTA, works well only because the VHA was able to invest substantial resources into making the system good. Initial cost was not an issue. Even Even in this model system, the net decrease in cost was only 0.2% per patient. Thus, EMR cost savings are not as great as the mind made them seem.
Okay, so it looks like if we can get rid of or assuage some of the overhead costs, we can make Amon's statements about savings a little more realistic. Has anything been done to reduce overhead costs of EMR?
Yeah, actually, the government made a major move just last year. The Health Information Technology for Economic and Clinical Health Act, or the HITECH Act, was one of the first acts passed by the Obama administration in 2009. It extended the requirements for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, of 1996, which basically protected paper records. Some people call the HITECH Act HIPAA 2. Among other things, the HITECH Act includes some $30 billion in incentives from Medicare and Medicaid providers for implementing EMR, and penalties for those who don't implement it. It also improves transparency and privacy of EMR for patients. There are two things, however, that I'm afraid about. Incentives appear to favor larger establishments. A 2009 study by the advisory firm Avalere Health showed that overhead costs for a small practice may be four times the amount of the incentive received. This may be why the VHA may have the most successful EMR implementation to date, as Kashif mentioned. They're a big organization with a lot of money. Also, I think we should be afraid about regulatory capture. Currently, HITECH applies to healthcare providers, but there are talks about including big pharmaceutical companies as well. If they get their hands on incentives, they may be able to sway the industry and the regulators in favor of their own ends, which could pose economic problems and privacy or ethical issues on data usage for EMR as well.
So if we can avoid regulatory capture and create incentives that don't favor big organizations, the HITECH Act seems to be a great idea.
Well, yes and no. I have another concern with the HITECH Act. It proposes to have the government institute an industry standard starting this year. There's a dire need for standardization to facilitate communication between doctors and allow patients to move seamlessly from one provider to another. Many competing standards currently exist. One of the major industry-generated standards is the Continuity of Care Record, or CCR. It was jointly developed by organizations including HIMSS and the American Association of Pediatrics. A competing government standard is the Electronic Data Interchange System. In other industries, the de facto standards have proven to be more effective than government standards, and this is no different. CCR determined the need, established measures, and produced exemplars in direct response to EMR. For EMR to be most effective, the government should enforce, not create, standards. However, this is not the case with the HITECH Act.
Yeah, I think Kashif has a good point there. Just as with cost regulations, incentives should be given to those who follow industry standards, and the government should penalize those who don't. Also, I think EMR standardization should only make sure that systems are compatible with one another. The details of implementation should be left unregulated, which will allow for continued innovation and competition. This mix of decentralization and centralization should work better than the all-or-nothing strategies attempted in industries such as the telephone industry over the past decades.
So, Jim, you can see that the HITECH Act can facilitate widespread EMR use, but just like any other legislative act, it isn't perfect. One thing Amon mentioned in passing is that the HITECH Act continues to stress privacy by creating a centralized security system for EMR. As long as we can keep centralization in the right places, government action will definitely have a positive impact.
Okay, guys. So is widespread EMR use likely to happen in the near future or not?
You know, Jim, that's a great question, considering the different things Kashif and I have said in the past couple minutes. But all in all, I think we both see EMR in the future of the medicine industry. As Howard Asher of Global Life Sciences said, inevitably, healthcare will go completely to EMR. The question is, how do we do it safely and how do we trust it? See, the issue isn't just technical, as we've shown. There's economic, political, and social concerns, too. As an innovation, EMR can definitely reduce medical error. But this will only be most effective if we accompany it with measures to improve error management. Also, there seems to be potential for savings, especially given regulatory measures in the HITECH Act, but we need more time and data to conclusively see these economic effects, especially those linked with this new act. What we should watch out for is the boundaries of the regulation in terms of regulatory capture and its attempts on standardization. But overall, there's a lot of potential for EMR. We just need to be smart when we go about instituting it in our medical system.
Just like in the operating room, what we need now is leadership and teamwork. In the case of EMR, this has to happen in both the political and medical spectrums.
All right, looks like that's all we have time for today. Thanks for coming on the show today, guys.
Thanks for having us. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, sure. Anytime, Jim.
On the next show, we'll be looking at the location of nuclear power plants. This was All Things Considered.
I, Aman Sinha, affirm that this podcast represents our own work in accordance with the university regulations.
I, Kashif Smith, affirm that this podcast represents our own work in accordance with the university regulations.